Good evening.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Lachi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, blessed. Wonderful. Thank you for asking. How was your week?
Been going good, just learning and applying and battling it out, you know.
We're the only ones here, you can talk.
Oh, yeah. Just continue to read and learn. Had a good thing to happen today. I have one of my best friends. He was having a hard day a week or so ago, and I told him, he was like, yeah, man, you know, and I just kind of brought up, God and all that, but he needed someone to pray for him, so I prayed for him and everything, and the day went good, and he hit me up today, earlier today. He was like, yeah, Lati, I want to, get more into the Word and the Bible, and I don't know how. And I was like, all right, I got you. And then I gave him the Bible app, and I told him. So he learns more with audio instead of reading. And I told him that the Bible app, it was really dope because they have audio on every version. So he started, and I told him to start in Matthew's, and he's been asking questions and reading about Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at that. That's called evangelizing. Praise the Lord. Sister Atina.
Hi, how are you?
Blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. I'm feeling good.
All right now. All right. Brother Ray, God bless you.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, we miss you.
That's right. I ain't went nowhere, man. It's sorting it out, figuring it out.
Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anybody want to share? Lachi was just sharing how his week went. He said he had an interesting day because he had someone yesterday that was going through some stuff, and he asked him, did he want him to pray for him? The young man said yes. And then the follow-up was the young man said, hey, I'd like to know more about God.
That's right.
So Lati then set him up a virtual Bible app so the young man can begin the process of studying. The other thing I would suggest you do is invite him to some Bible study.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bible is an interesting tool, but it's pretty difficult to just grasp it all on your own. You know what I mean? You need help in understanding like we all did. So we need to be able to do some things. So praise the Lord for what took place. Sister Tina, how was your week?
I went to the cardiologist today, and the cardiologist told me that my heart is beating on its own for the most part.
Hallelujah.
That's right, because I got a pacemaker, but the pacemaker is not doing it. God did it. I love it. God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All the time. All the time. And he's still in the miracle working business. Glory
to
God.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's still, I don't know why he does what he does, but he does it, and all you can say is praise the Lord after he does it.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Hallelujah. Brother Ray, what about you? How was your week?
My week was all right. So I was the same thing. Working and raising kids, man. That's it. All right.
That's a lot.
Right.
That whole raising kids thing, man, that's a lot, right? Because we're in a day and age where people choose drugs over divinity. They choose jail over Jesus. they choose homelessness over healthiness. We're in a really unique time, day and age. So you've got a very, very wonderful but difficult assignment, right? How's the business going?
It's going a lot better now. We have some faulty equipment for some months that kind of put us in a bad spot, but we back on our feet with new equipment, and we rolling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God showed up and showed out.
He definitely did. They was denying us for all the equipment. So we called, they denied us for whatever reasons. And that night I just shot one up. Big dog, I need you, big dog. The next morning all these approvals is in my email, like, oh, I think we made a mistake, sir, we want to get you approved right away. I'm like, oh man, what's up?
Wow. So they have been denying you. What type of equipment were you trying to get? Trucks?
I was trying to get a couple semi trucks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, oh no, we can't do it now for whatever reason or the other. They was telling me this for about a week, so I started to get down. I waited till my family went to sleep, and me and God, we had a chat. Next morning, I am not kidding, the next morning my email was flooded. Like, sir, we must have made a mistake. Yeah, we want to speak with you. Blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Master. What a wonderful God you are. My God, my God. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. So we are going to Brother Evans. God bless you. Thank you for joining.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys.
Hey, you got somebody on here that'll make you smile. That's Brother Ray.
How you doing, Brother Ray?
My boy, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm blessed, man. I'm sitting here, man, now from trying to watch David, man. What is it? The House of David on Prime.
Right.
It's like a little season of it. So I'm trying to watch it, man, and the devil be trying to make me go to sleep. I miss the parts, and then time I go back and rewind it because I always want to know, like, by details. So that's what I'm doing.
There you go. There you go. We're learning. So we're in the book of Romans, everybody. Sister Hawanda Yarber was supposed to lead tonight, but she got called out on the family issue. So I'm expecting Brother Tavon Waller to come and join us. When he joins, we're going to go through the book of Romans in the 14th chapter.
All right.
14th chapter of Romans. And we're going to discuss it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to learn from it. We're going to say if we don't understand something, I don't get it. Right? Yeah. Because that's how we get it. Right? By being able to admit, hey, you know what? I didn't quite get that. We want to walk away from here with a full understanding of the power of God because it works. Ray's testimony is awesome. Sister Johnson, Sister Robinson's testimony is awesome. And since Brother Arnold just got here, Sister Robinson, would you reshare your testimony?
So last year, my heart was about to stop. My heart was beating 20 beats a minute, and I needed to get a pacemaker. But like I said, God is good because today I went to the cardiologist, and I was in the MRI machine. And they had to cut my pacemaker off so that I could get in the machine. Well, my heart is beating on its own, and really.
Hallelujah.
So, yes, that's right.
I don't know. No, I don't know about your brothers. I don't know. Wait a minute. I don't know about your brothers in Christ, but when I hear testimony like that, I got to say, hallelujah, praise God, look at you.
Right.
Oh, my God, what a wonderful God we serve. I want to give him some accolades. Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was so
hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. See, I'm grateful for every miracle because it just tells me mine has yet to come. Glory to God. And then, Brother Ray, would you reshare your testimony, please?
About like at the end of January, my truck, I ended up taking a downfall, and I was trying to get approved for these different equipment, and I just kept getting denied. Credit wasn't good enough, or whatever other reason they came up with. And I tried for about a week, kept getting denied. So one night I waited till my family went to sleep. And me and God, we was talking. I said, I need you, big dog. And the next morning, my email was flooded with approvals for all of these different plays. We want to talk to you. You can call us right now. We must have made a mistake. So right now, we're rolling.
God,
back at it.
Oh, my God.
Carlos.
Thank you.
There were some choices, too. Dark. It wasn't just one of them. There were several of them going, come on, pick us today.
That's right. Make somebody.
There were several. Several. Call us right now. You must have made a mistake, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, look at God. Lakeem, why don't you share your testimony?
Yeah, I have one of my good friends that I've known for a long time now, that I'm really close to, was having, you know, trouble for a while, I noticed, because the way he would text me and everything and all that. And, you know, down the line, a few days ago, he messaged me and was like, hey, man, you know, just, I guess he was having a bad day. So I just told him I would pray for him and all the other stuff. And then he hit me up the next day and, you know, said thank you. And then he's never really been in God. But he hit me up and he was like, hey, you know, I want to learn more. You know, I want to get more in touch with my spiritual side. So I'm like, all right. And he was like, where should I start? So I ended up, I told him to download the Bible app on the Apple phone. And then he ended up downloading it. He was asking me if they have the audio. They have all the audio recordings and everything and all that, all the scriptures. And I told him to start in Matthew. And he's been asking me questions, you know, about it and everything during the day. So.
God is so good.
Amen.
God, miracles, signs, and wonders. Thank you, Father. How awesome you are. I'm going to ask Sister Itina to open us up in prayer today.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Instant in season and out of season.
Okay.
That's what the Bible
says.
Get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Don't figure out that you are doing that anymore when you do it.
That's right. Oh, my God. I'm so honored. Thank y'all so much. Oh, my God. Okay. I ran to the car. Oh, I want to say, Father God, thank you for bringing us all here today, all here tonight, Father God, to be together, to pray together. Oh, my God. God, thank you for giving us another day, giving us every day to wake up, to be with our family, to be with our friends. Oh, my God. Touch those people that are sick, God. Help them, God. Oh, my God. Show people grace, God. Give it to them, God. Please, God. Help those families, husbands, and wives stay together, God. Please, God. Look out for those mothers who are taking care of their kids alone, the fathers who are taking care of their kids alone, God. Please, God, watch over our sisters and brothers that's outside in the world that's dying every day, God.
Mm.
Oh, my God. God, please. Oh, my God. God, I beg you today, God, to bless everybody, in the world, God. Please, God, and God, I want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. I am so happy tonight. Oh, my God. Thank you, God.
Amen.
For giving me this opportunity to say his presence day tonight. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, my God.
Mm.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, I want to bless all y'all, everybody. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, God. God, please, please, God, help everybody, God. Oh, this world is so bad right now. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. Oh, my God.
Amen. And then amen. And we touch and agree in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That the world is indeed a help today. Hallelujah. So we are in Romans, the 14th chapter. Everybody grab your Bibles. Get in your plane. Tighten up your seatbelt. Praise the Lord. And let's get ready to go. Right? Let me know when you have it. Romans 14. We'll be starting in verse 1. Are we ready?
No. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, got it.
I got one. I got two.
Amen. Amen.
I got
Amen.
Three. Brother Evans, you got a Bible?
Yeah. No. Hold on. I'm looking for it in my shoes.
And while he is looking for scripture, let's go over a little bit of backdrop. The majority of what you're seeing in Romans is about Paul, the apostle. And Paul is going through a process. Paul has been met on the road to Damascus by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what we call the Holy Ghost, and he got knocked off of his horse in the book of Acts, put down on his knees, and then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, why have you, Saul was his name before he became Paul, and he said, Saul, why have you persecuted me? And his answer was, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, the one whom you have persecuted, because Paul was a believer, church, Christian, killing, religious zealot. Let me try it again. He was a church, Christ-filled, people-killing machine. He was grabbing people. They were confessing about this Lord that they've seen. They've seen miracles. They've seen signs. They've seen wonders. They've seen things that had never happened in the church according to the Hebrew Israelite leadership, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And they had never seen these types of miracles take place. Yet here comes this man who professes himself to be the Son of Man without even calling himself the Son of God. He says, I am the Son of Man. And he begins to touch things and things begin to get better. That's a very important part for us as believers. Whatever you touch, it should get better. If it's in your presence, it should get better. You should, nothing that you touch is supposed to diminish or be devolved, because the anointing that God has placed in you, since you said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, Master, Savior, it is just like what Paul is going through. It's building up. Paul has this experience. Not only does he have this experience, God bless you, whoever just joined, not only does he have this experience, Brother Tavon, God bless you. We're in Romans 14th chapter. Not only does Paul have this experience where he gets blinded by the light, the Lord makes a decision to leave him blind for 3 days. Now, the interesting thing about Paul is that Paul has never ran with the disciples. He was trying to kill him. He never ran with the apostles. He was trying to kill him because he thought they were heretics. They were saying things like, the Lord spoke to me and said this. In the Hebrew Israelite Jewish tradition, no man had the right to ever say, I heard the Lord say. If you said that, you were a heretic. You were someone that was defaming God. Even today's Jewish church, the only way a decision can be made is when one of the rabbis might say, I think we should do this, and the congregation agrees. And if the congregation agrees, they assume that God just made a move in the church. But if you were to walk in that church and say, the Lord is telling me we should pray, they would throw you out of the synagogue as a heretic. Paul is of that faction. Everybody follow me? Paul is of that faction. And so for all these men who are experiencing healings, seeing the Lord bring sight to the blind, and they're telling people about this majestic, glorious man who is the Son of Man, but they're beginning to realize he is the predicted Messiah from where Isaiah began to tell them that the Messiah was coming. And so they start sharing the word with people. The Messiah is here. Paul is catching those people that are saying the Messiah has come and sending them to the Roman Colosseums to be killed for sport. And that should encourage you, because sometimes we think we're the worst people in the world and God can't use us. But I want to tell you, it don't work that way.
Amen.
It don't work. You can't be too bad for God. So Paul gets blinded for 3 days. He's never walked with the apostles. He's never walked with Jesus. And here in 3 days of blindness, God downloads. Oh, glory. He downloads into Paul during his blind time. He downloads all of the revelation of the new covenant. Paul then has to have a man of God come lay hands on him to remove the scales from his eyes. And so a man comes, touches him, the scales fall off, and immediately, not a week later, not a month later, not after going to theological school, not having gone to seminary, not having done any of those things that we profess today as being, this is how you become a pastor, a preacher, an apostle, a teacher, an evangelist. This is how you become a witness to God. None of those things were there. And Paul immediately goes out and begins to start churches. The thing that was unique about Paul was that the majority of the people that he was going to preach to were people who knew him for being a killer. My God.
Oh.
Because his reputation preceded him. They knew who Paul was, and they knew if you saw Saul coming into town, you better scatter, because he's coming to get folks and send them to their death. And then God, in his infinite wisdom, says, I want you to go to them same people that are scared of you and tell them you're saved. Paul then begins to go out and start churches, and he has to earn the trust of all those people. He has to repent of himself in front of thousands of people. Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Rome, Corinthians. He has to go to all these churches, and he has to tell them, I'm saved now. Please forgive me. Now let me tell you what the Lord has told me to tell you. And so it's an interesting, he's an interesting subject for study when we read the Bible, because you begin to understand what repentance is, because he had to repent. You begin to understand what having a mission is, and nobody believes in you. You begin to understand the difficulty and the degrees of difficulty. And you begin to understand even your own life a little bit better, because you realize why people go, oh, you ain't all that. Because they just can't get how somebody that was as bad as us could be changed like this. Paul is growing, just as many of us are growing. Paul is going through places where by faith he's starting to learn about his God. It didn't all come overnight, and so it didn't go all come overnight for us, and it didn't all come overnight. There were some times when people were coming to arrest Paul, and they even planned and plotted, we saw this in the book of Acts, to kill Paul. There were people who literally said, I won't eat another meal until I kill this man. The same man that is a scribe and Pharisee himself is now a heretic going out and telling people about a man who has the powers of God that can save souls. So they're trying to kill him. Paul not only goes through through the book of Acts with these problems and learning how to trust God because they're trying to kill him, but for some reason every place Paul goes, no matter what they tried to do, they couldn't destroy him. That's an important part of your growth, because you'll understand that the enemy is after you, but he ain't got nothing on you. You'll begin to you'll begin to recognize that our lives are very similar to what Paul was going through. Anybody following me? It's similar.
That's why,
because
amen.
No matter how much good you do, evil always seems to be present. Evil always seems to rear its ugly head.
Yes.
And it'll come in so many unique and ununderstandable ways. It'll come as sickness. Evil will come
faster, that's right, talk.
As
mm-hmm.
your children, saying, I ain't listening to you no more. You ain't never been a good parent. Evil will come in so many shapes and forms and sizes. That's why the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Because once you get into Christ, your faith has declared a thing that God is honoring from heaven, and it's called salvation. But in between the fact of your declaration towards God and towards Jesus, there's the enemy doing everything he can to make you unspeak what you spoke.
Mm.
And he'll make you unspeak it by going, I give up. He'll make you unspeak Christ by getting you to a place where you go, this ain't working. He'll try to make you unspeak it by getting to a place where you say, this is just too hard for me. It's easy to do it the wrong way. It's easier when I was doing it my way. But my way was producing fruit that was rotten and spoiled. And now I've gotten into this place where I no longer want spoiled fruit. I want good fruit. But yet I'm in the middle between the spoiled and the good, and I'm sitting here struggling. But the struggle is necessary.
Right.
The struggle is how you get to your anointing. The struggle is what presses out all of the unfiltered, unnecessary things in your life so that God can pour in anointing and oil and wisdom and knowledge, and courage, and strength, and possibilities, and hope, and vision. All those things that we go through is God's way of testing out those things that we've been through. Paul is this man. And not only is he this man, we're reading in the book of Romans, which is where Paul was educated at as a Pharisee. It was where he learned his religion. And now God has made it a point to send him back where he started to clean up what he had messed up. He sent him back to an origin spot. And that's interesting for us as believers, because a lot of times you'll find yourself having gone full circle and you're right back to some stuff that you were running away from. And you can't figure out why. Why am I here again? And God is saying, because I sent you back as a new creature so that you could clean up what was done by the old creature, and they could see that there's God in heaven, because they see that when you came back, you didn't come back cussing. When you came back, you didn't come back fussing. When you came back, you didn't come back asking for a beer. When you came back, you didn't come back saying, pass me a hit of the joint. When you came back anointed. Oh, glory. Mm. Paul is in the place that God has sent him back to, and he's teaching. And he's trying to share with them how this walk is supposed to go. And he's talking to people. This is so important. He's talking to people who have been saved longer than him. Oh, Jesus. He's sent back with an anointing, because even though they've been saved longer than him, they have not gotten the revelation that God gave them. So he has to go back into a place filled with believers but with no revelation to give them revelation on what being a believer really looks like. The same man, who beforehand was killing them for the little bit they did know. And now he comes back with all this knowledge, all of this spiritual wisdom that God has deposited into him. And for all of us as believers, you have to know your life is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And your destination goes as far as your death.
Yeah.
Your destination is connected to your depth. Meaning, if you're willing to swim to the bottom of the ocean, you're going to find some fish that ain't nobody else ever seen. If you swim
on the
on the surface, you'll just see minnows and guppies, a few crabs, and you'll think that that's the world. But if you're willing to go just a little deeper, and that's what Bible studies for. If you're willing to go off the shallows and into the deep of God, your destination is as vast and as big as your ability to submerge ourselves in the Word.
That's fine.
And the deeper I go,
Hallelujah.
I go in the Word,
yeah,
the farther I'm going to go in the walk.
All right.
Because I serve a miracle, signs and wonder doing God. We don't even ask for them. We're just asking, God, can you keep me? Most of us. God, can you keep me through my trial? Can you keep me through the tribulation? Can you keep me through the next test? Can you keep me? But he doesn't just keep us. He shows up and shows us.
Yes.
He alone is God.
That's right.
He's all by himself. And then all over time, we began to get that same level of commitment that Paul had. We're going to read in a minute, but I just want to set this whole thing up so we get it. Paul he's about 30% to where he's going. By the time we get to the final book that Paul wrote, when you get into Timothy and Jude and those books, Paul has started about 100 churches. While we're in Romans, Paul is still trying to figure out the church. Praise God. That's why you're in the process. Because some of us, we're still trying to figure out what church is. We ain't figured out how to go out and change things by the anointing that God has given you. But I ask you and I beseech you, stay steadfast and immovable in your God.
Yes.
Stay steadfast. Keep trusting him. No matter what the enemy throws at you, don't let him steal your faith.
Thank you. Amen.
Because faith is the greatest weapon against the enemy.
And if you
have faith, you may say to the mountain, move. You may be on your knees praying, God, I need my children to change. I need my wife to get it. I need my job to get it. I need to get it. And you may be on your knees praying for those things. And you don't necessarily see the manifestation right away. But if you hold on to your faith, the manifestation will come.
Okay.
Why? Because God knows when the change is prepared for you. In other words, I could say to God, I need a good wife.
Yes.
God is going to say to me, if I'm listening well, no, you need to learn to be a good husband first.
All right. Yeah.
I can say to God, I need my children to do things a certain way. I want them to be better. And God is saying, well, I'm going to make you a better parent before. Because if you're not a better parent, if your children make a change, the old man will come out and you'll crush what I just produced in them. You'll drive out the forces of good. Because the old man, so in order for me to be a better parent,
or in order for me to have better children, I have to be willing to become better at parenting. In order for me to be a better husband, I have to, or have a better wife, I have to be willing to become better at husbanding. Mm. So Paul is in Rome. We set to say he's in Rome. And he's trying to now tell them in the 14th chapter, he's going to talk about people that ain't quite as smart as you yet about the Lord. Now let's read. 14:1.
Amen.
Brother Jalon, you want to do the reading?
Amen. Yes, sir. 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believes that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats. For God have received him.
Stay right there. Thank you. Evangelist Mason, God bless you. Thank you for being here. I think we have someone else that just joined. Can you acknowledge yourself? I don't know if that's Sister Hawanda. It's a Madison, Wisconsin caller. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Brother Dewan. Is that you? All right. Let me go back over the screen. We have Brother Arnold Evans. We have Sister Akina Roberson. We have Brother Ray. We have Brother Tamon. We have Brother Lati. We have Sister Betty Jackson Mason. There's one more person here whose name I cannot see. Can you acknowledge yourself so we know that you're here and welcome you? If I didn't call your name.
It's me, Jeanette.
Jeanette, God bless you. Thank you. Amen. All right.
Where are you guys reading that?
We're in Romans, the 14th chapter. And we just read verses 1 through 4. And we just talked about Paul's walk and where he is, because this is a developmental point for Paul. Developmental. As I said, he's on a journey. Just as we're on a journey. He's learning about how to deal with the church, just as we're learning how to deal with the church. And he opens up 14:1 by saying something to the Roman church about the people in the Roman church. It's beautiful. He says something to the believers. And don't forget, Paul is not as old in the spirit as many of the other people around him, because they've been saved for a while. Paul has had this experience on the road to Damascus, but he's filled with revelation knowledge from God, and he's trying to share with the church what the church is not doing properly. Oh, man, that's a big one. Hallelujah. He's trying to tell them, brothers, you're going to have to catch this, because this is important when it comes down to the souls that are around you. And he starts off in 14:1 by saying, brethren, him that is weak in the faith, you still need to receive. But don't receive them unto doubtful disputations, which is arguments and fussing and trying to make them get the word of God instead of let them go through their journey like we had to go through it. He says in verse 2, for one believe that he may eat all things. Another who is weak, well, he only eats herbs. He goes, verse 3, let not him that eateth all things despise him that doesn't eat all those things. And let not him which eateth turn around and start judging the ones that choose not to eat it. For God has received them.
Right.
God
I got
has
a question
received this
about
person.
That.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
So what we just read about let them what the and not talking about who, or are they talking?
Great question. I think I heard you. You broke up a little bit. Repeat the question, please, Arnold.
I said, are they talking about food, or are they talking about, like, other things?
They are talking. Yep. And they are talking about food. Let me tell you where it's coming from. Right. It's coming from the book of Genesis. And it's the place where God told Adam, I have given you every seed yielding tree and all the herbs as food. So what they're speaking specifically to is someone that has become a vegan because of the Old Testament scriptures that said a man shouldn't eat meat, that said a man shouldn't do this. However, in the New Testament, Paul begins to explain, and Peter shares with them, hey, the Lord told me there's nothing unclean anymore. Bless it and eat it. So he's saying, if an immature believer comes in believing that all we should eat are herbs, nuts, berries, peaches, plums, apples, oranges, because those are the foods with a seed in them, which God declared in the book of Genesis, he's saying, you don't turn around and argue with him and say, brother, we're in the New Testament now. You ain't got to do all that. All you got to do is bless it and eat it. Because what it does is it begins to destroy their walk. You get it?
Yes, sir.
And so he begins to share with us one of the most important things about nurturing the people that come into the church that are not where you are. And you're going to see it if you stay in church long enough. You're going to have some people that come in and they'll tell you the Bible said this and you'll know that it doesn't. And he's saying, you can share with them, but don't let it become an argument. Everybody got that? This is important. And the reason that's important is because even in your walk, you will have some people that say, oh, the Bible said this, and you just walked up on them and start talking to them about God, and they're going to say some stuff that you're going to go, that's ridiculous. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. But he's saying, let them be. Because if they truly desire the Lord, if they are truly seeking God, God is going to drop knowledge into them on their journey. What he wants us to be is just a good example so that they have a desire to have what it is that God has given you. Does that make sense?
Quick question, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and I've came across that a lot, like a lot of people that they'll like, you know, talk about God or they'll talk about, you know, completely like misinterpret what he says or like, you know, or says like a lot of things against God. And so what you're saying is best to just let them be and just let them do what they do.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. And if you're ever going to use the wisdom of evangelizing, because that's a gift. Everybody knows that, right? That's a gift from God. The wisdom of evangelizing is when someone says something in error, all you really have to do is say, brother, can you show that to me? And it'll shut it down immediately.
Amen.
Now, can I show you what I read? Right? Then that way it doesn't become a disputation. I'm saying, you're saying, because all that's word of mouth. But when I can show it to you in the word, then there is no dispute about it. It's here. Yeah. Do you understand it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that is one of the reasons, or the other reasons, that it's so important for us to study, to show ourselves approved, because you're going to run into people that are going to say some of the most ridiculous things about God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it will sometimes get your ire up. We want to protect who's protecting us. You can't come to my house and talk about my wife. We ain't playing that, right? You can't come in my house and sit up and talk about my kids and think that I'm going to sit there going, yeah, you're right, they are all ridiculous, ain't they? No, I'm going to, there's a natural instinct to protect in each one of us those things that we love. God put that there for a purpose. And so I have to use that instinct, but I have to use it wisely. And this is what Paul is doing. He's telling them, brethren, let's talk about this. because he's obviously talking to somebody that just had that issue. Mm-hmm. He's obviously talking to somebody that he said, oh, this person came in talking about all you're supposed to eat is herbs and fruit. And I was sitting up eating a steak, and he sat up and told me, I am not with God. God doesn't love me because I'm eating the steak. And he saw me in eating, and he's over there eating fruit because he's following the Old Testament, the Genesis scripture that said this, but he doesn't know that. And so Paul would say, okay, brother, he's just weak in faith. Receive him. Accept that. That's what receive means. Accept something. But just don't get into a lot of doubtful disputations. Because one believes that he can eat all things. You know this. Another who is weak eats herbs. Let him do it. Get it? And let not him that eats despise. Don't get angry at the man because he believes God on this level and you know God on that level. In other words, you can't get angry at folks because you believe in God for a miracle and you got somebody around you thinking miracles can't happen. You can't get angry at them folks while you sitting back saying, well, God allowed my heart to beat without a pacemaker. And they're sitting back telling you, well, medicine doesn't work like that. It's this, that. They're disputing
the
miracle.
Mm-hmm.
They're disputing the miracle. Praise the Lord. Everybody getting this? They're disputing the miracle so that they can challenge. Satan is using them to challenge your faith. Because the minute you stop believing,
yeah.
You kill your own miracle.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good. That's
you
good.
Can shut down your own miracle.
Yes. Uh-huh.
This is and when you go back, you'll see it many times in the Bible when Jesus was asking people, when they say, can you heal me? He'd say, do you believe I can? Because faith, in order for it to work properly, needs a corresponding faith. And that even goes to laying hands on people. It even goes to praying for people. You should ask them before you do, do you believe? Because they can cancel the miracle. Because when you said you believe, God performed. And the minute that he performed, their doubt will unperform what God just performed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody getting it?
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's keep reading. So that's it. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want to just say something, right, because that makes a lot of sense. I hear this all the time in the barbershop. About eating pork and eating different things, that you're going to hell if you do this and that and other. But, you know, as I study, it makes so much sense in what you're saying, because a foolish person will get in these disputes, you know, and be right, you know, because in 1 Timothy, if you don't mind, real quick, it speaks of giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right? It reads like this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time, which we are in now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies. Now, I was going to speak about the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So everybody told it's true. but Romans and Paul is telling us to not have disputes or even condemn these ones that's weak in faith. Even though we know everybody don't understand. So it takes wisdom to show and prove. I mean, you can show them in scripture, but sometimes, you know, from my experience, people still don't believe, you know. So it's like, why get upset? You know, we can only plant a seed and hopefully somebody comes along and waters it, like the scriptures say. But so that's so good. I just wanted to point that out. Point that out.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else before we move on? All right. Sister Donna, God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're in Romans, the 14th chapter, Sister Donna. Dr. Donna, praise the Lord.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
God bless you. Yes,
hello,
ma'am.
Everybody. God bless everybody. God bless
everybody. Hello.
Amen. So let me go back to this one thing so I can show you the foundation of what this statement is about. 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. In other words, learn. Receive ye means learn how to deal with them. Right? That's another way to look at it. Learn how to deal with that. They're just not where you are. You can't force this knowledge into them because a lot of them just are not ready for it yet, right? And I might not even be ready to know how to explain it yet.
Amen. Right?
I can sit back and say, the Bible says Jesus saves and you ought to get saved all I want to. And a person turns around and says, for what? I'm already saved. I went to church when I was 3. And if I don't know how to approach that, it could turn easily into an argument. Easily.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't saved because, well, hold on for a minute. You got to be baptized. You got to be. And I don't know yet how to say, well, let's go look in the Bible and let's go see what salvation is. And then, you know, because you might be right. I may not know. So let's go find this. Can you show it to me in your Bible? Well, I don't have a Bible. I don't read the Bible. Ooh. Right? I don't need no Bible. Right? All that. So let me go back real quick. Go to Genesis 1:29. I think it is. Yep, Genesis 1:29. And when you have it, say amen. So he goes on to say, hey, for one believeth that he can eat all things, and another who is weak only believes he should eat herbs. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament and people that were walking in it, and they had a mindset, but they were still interested in knowing about Christ, just like we got a lot of people who think they know everything in the world about God. But when you sit down and watch them and pay attention to them, you kind of go, if you really knew them, you might not be doing some of those things, right? You would be responding differently. Your demeanor would be different. Your grace would be different. Your compassion would be different. So he's 1:29. Got it?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So 1:29, he says, right? And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree that yields seed, and to you it shall be for me. So Paul is dealing with someone that is an Old Testament believer who's telling the person that he's talking to, you're just dealing with an Old Testament believer, but give him some time and he'll see the glory of God in you and he'll begin to give thought to the way he thinks. Some thought about it. Well, is that actually right? Because this brother seems to be eating meat and it doesn't seem to bother him, right? So we get that? Everybody get the reference point on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. All right. So now let's go on. We're in verse 5.
Verse 5.
You ready, brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me get back to it.
I'm sorry, okay. Verse 4. Romans 4, verse 4. Well, 4.
14 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 14:4.
That judge another man's servant. To his own master he stands or falls.
Mm-mm.
Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteem one day above another. Another esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regard it unto the Lord. And he that regard not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and give God thanks.
Mm-hmm.
For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself.
Well,
for whether he live, you want me to stop right there?
Mm-mm, go ahead.
Okay. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Mm.
For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account to himself to God.
Mm-hmm.
Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Oh my.
Mm. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there, let me start over. I know, Paul said, I know. And I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteem anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. As thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wow. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Anybody? Is anybody on the line? Is it just me?
No, oh, it's not just you on the
No,
line.
I'm listening to you.
I'm here.
I'm listening and thinking.
That last line is heavy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Somebody saying something?
No, I just said we were taking it in. We listening to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That last
sorry,
line.
Sorry, everybody. I got cut off.
Yes. I read the whole chapter, Pat. I don't know if you were on or not.
No, I got cut off for a second. My phone had one of its things. But let's go back. You read the whole chapter. Let's go back up to verse 14. I want everybody's input on this. Can you reread that again, Brother Tavon, please?
Yes. Paul said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Amen. All right, we're going to talk about that part. Praise the Lord, right? What is Paul talking about? I'll start with Brother Ray. Just your thoughts on that. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. What an amazing thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he meant?
I think he mean if they think it unclean, to them, like they said, it's unclean. So it doesn't matter what it is. It could be food. It could be a thing. It could be another person, you know, or it can be intimacy. If you think it's unclean, then it's unclean. So that's what I think they mean.
Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely right. Anybody else? Let's go to, remember, the deeper you're willing to go.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, verse 14. Is that what you're talking about? Verse 14.
Yeah, with the if you think it's not unclean, then it's not. So I'm just trying to make sure I get the proper understanding on that.
Yes, sir. We sure will. But I'm going to give everybody a chance to say what they hear. Remember, how deep you're willing to go is how far, is how bright your destiny can become. If we stay on the surface, we fish for minnows, catfish, bass, a pike or two. If you go below and you want to go deep into what God is saying to us, that's where you'll find the things that no man has ever seen. You go to the bottom of the ocean. There are creatures in the bottom of the ocean that they can only send a submarine down to spot, because no man can go that deep yet. They haven't developed the technology. So, but God developed the technology through his word for us to go as deep into the spiritual ocean as we choose to. You can go as deep in anointing as you choose to. That's why you can see, just as a thought, and then we'll get back to it, I'm going to ask you a question, but just as a thought, you can see that in the differences in the way people preach. If you, some folks have preached, and they'll preach your socks right off you. You're compelled to get out your seat. You're compelled to clap and give God glory and praise. And some people preach, and you go, I'm sleepy. I've done both. Praise the Lord. I've preached both ways before. So I'm saying, it's the depth that you're willing to go to. Because sometimes when you just trust the Holy Ghost and go as deep as he'll take you, you'll find the things that you've never seen before in yourself. Hallelujah. The stuff that's there that God deposited in you before you ever entered into your mother's womb. Before you ever entered into your mother's womb. How many of us know, before we get to the question, how many of us know that the Bible says he knew you before?
Amen.
All right. Do we believe that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. So if he knew me, he deposited some things. That's why certain people have certain gifts that you can't duplicate. That's why some folks that can jump off the gym, and I don't care how much weight you push, I don't care how many leg presses you do, you ain't jumping off the gym. Because something was deposited into their soul that wasn't deposited into my soul. I ain't no sense in me trying to jump out the gym, but I might be able to swim faster than anybody on the planet. So there's things that God has deposited in us that until we go deep, until we have enough things to press down on us and force us to have to go deep on the inside of self. That's why Jesus said, let a man examine himself, because someplace in that examination, I'm going to find power. Someplace in that examination, I'm going to find the anchors and the things that are holding down what God built up. Because if God made you, you've got to be something special.
That's right. Yeah. So Pastor.
Now that's scary, right? It's scary. Because if God made me and I'm something special, why do I let so many people treat me like I'm nothing?
Yeah. That's right. You're your own individual. You are special.
And this scripture is going to shadow us into why that happens. Listen to what he says again. Here we go. I myself. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to ask a question. Go ahead. Read it again.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Ask some questions. I don't have to read. Go ahead.
I too wanted to start with what he said first, because he said he was persuaded by the Lord, right? But although he was persuaded by the Lord, people's perception of how he feels is something untrue or not. I'm sorry?
I think that's Brother. Who's that? Oh, that's Brother Ray. Hold on, I'll just mute him. Yeah, he muted himself. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was saying, because Paul did say that although he is persuaded by the Lord, right? He's persuaded by him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the text, it is talking about the perception of your own perception of how you feel about something yourself.
Come on.
Within yourself.
Come on.
It's like what you think truly matters, not what others think.
Can we say that one more time? What you think?
What you think truly matters. It's not about what other people think. It's about what your perception is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can't go off what somebody else thinks. Like, you have to get this understanding for yourself. Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. You are spot on. You're right on, right? Anybody else want to take a shot at this too? Because she's absolutely right, but there's other stuff to pull out of this. How deep you go.
Right.
It's how much you know. Amen. Anybody?
That's good.
Somebody tell me what the word persuaded means.
To convince
you ever been
somebody.
Persuaded of something? Say it again?
To convince somebody.
Have you ever been persuaded?
Yes. Lots of times. When you go you're persuaded.
Okay.
When the commercials come on the TV, you're persuaded to buy certain items like your cereal or clothing.
Being convinced.
Yeah,
right.
Being convinced.
I was going to say convinced. Yeah.
You've been convinced.
Mm-hmm.
You've been convinced. That's the right word for it. And typically we get convinced from seeing something or experiencing something over and over until we get an explanation of the thing or a curiosity on the thing, and the curiosity makes me seek an answer. And so Paul is saying, I'm not only fully persuaded, I sought this answer from God. That's why he says by Jesus. He said, I went deep into this because I was making this mistake and thinking the way that I thought was going to, if my negativity shows up in me, then that negativity becomes me. And Paul said, I've had to learn this. Remember, he's growing just like we are. He's growing in this. And he's starting to realize, well, the Lord has persuaded me because I've made these bad steps before. I now know. And he's going all the way back to the book of Proverbs and saying, I finally realized what it means to say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
So basically what you're saying is you basically create your own reality, in a sense.
You create reality. You create your vision. You're creating your environment.
Mm-hmm.
If God didn't say it, and I'm dealing with it based on what I'm thinking, then my thinking created an environment that's not of God.
Oh, God.
That's why Paul begins to share with us back to the book of Romans, right around the 12th chapter. Oh, God. He's like Revelation. He's lit up. Oh, God, I finally get it. There's now, therefore, no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. Because if I hold myself accountable to God, I've made myself accountable to the world. So why should I sit back and be condemned of a thing that I did when I know deep down in my heart I can't go and undo it no more? I can only take this moment and move forward from it. So ain't no sense in me sitting back and harping. Ain't no sense in me sitting back and blaming. No sense in me sitting back and destroying myself through my own faults.
Yeah.
So I've learned there's
right.
really nothing unclean.
That's right.
Well, I got a question.
Because everything that was made by God. So there's nothing unclean, but I could be doing it in a way that is causing me guilt and condemnation. I could be doing it in a way, like for instance, let's go touch this. There's absolutely nothing wrong with sex.
Right, nothing.
In fact, it is a gift from God. How do I know that? Why would I say that? Well, because my Bible says in the book of Genesis, he said to Adam, Adam, be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
Well,
the only way to do that is
he didn't say multiply your fruit. Listen to it. Listen to what the scripture said. He didn't say go multiply your fruit, which would be the baby part. He said be fruitful, then multiply, which meant sex is good. And if you have a wife and you have a husband and you're into a relationship that's holy and acceptable before God and you know how to have make love in the Holy Ghost, it is the most endearing.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ooh, did he say that about sex? Yeah, hey, because it's all in the Bible. Nobody talks about it, right?
Mm.
He's saying when you have children, he said the children are a blessing. And if the children are a blessing, how in the world do I take a blessing and let it make me feel like I'm cursed by it?
Mm.
Nothing unclean in the Lord. I might be dealing with it wrong. I might be approaching it. You know, is this making sense to anybody? I hope and pray you receive it. I could be dealing with it wrong. And so then I began to seek wisdom and knowledge. I go back and read scripture and I start seeing how other men and other women interacted in the Bible. And I begin to realize, wait a minute, when I married the woman, I ain't got no business telling her not to use my credit card. I gave her all rights to the credit card. What I should do is talk about how much you spend, not that you can't spend it.
That's right.
When I brought the children into the world, I can't be running around and saying I can't get you an ice cream cone because all I got is $2. Because if all I got is $2, I'm already broke. I might as well spend it and give somebody some joy.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, God. It may not be because watch where I'm going. I hope this explains it. Because your child can come and say, I need $10 to do something. And it's important to the child. But it ain't important to you. And all you got is $15, $25 in your pocket. And you're going, Mom, that's who? I don't know what I might need this money for. Right? And doing that little interaction between you and the child. At that moment, you picked at the child because they keep asking you. But if you pay attention, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's nothing unclean. What we're really mad at is ourselves for not having it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you just made me feel like a loser. You just made me feel like I'm broke. You just made me feel because I can't give you what I know I really want you to have. Anybody get that?
Yeah.
Anybody get it?
Yeah.
All right, watch what I'm getting ready to go. So every time you go to God, or every time you sit back and talk about what you don't have before God, you make him feel bad because he wants you to have everything. And the difference between him and us is he's abundant and he don't run out of nothing.
Mm.
Oh, God. He doesn't run out of nothing. The money that you have in your pocket is made from wood. It's made from a tree. Who made it?
Oh, God.
Who made the tree that they shaved it up,
that's right,
pressed it down, turned it into paper, pressed the president's head on it, and said, this has this much value. It's worth
$100.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm getting ready to go. I knew you before you ever entered your mother's womb. If you would stop thinking that the money has the value and start realizing it's you that has the value, money will find you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So true. Yes, Lord.
Money will find you. Why? Because it's your gifts that make room for you. If all you can do is talk real well, talk till you get paid. If all you can do is wash dishes real well, go wash some other folks' dishes till you get paid. If all can do is sweep the floor real well, go start a cleaning business till you get paid. If you can do is mow the lawn real good, go mow the neighbor's lawn and watch and see what they pay you. If all you can do is drive real good and you love being behind the wheel, go pick some folks up and call it a transportation system and get your gift.
That's right. Use your gift.
Your gift. That's what God is trying to get us to see. So nothing is really unclean. It's how we deal with a lot of things and how we see it, because we're creating realities. We're creating environments, right? If I go come into the house and I stop and walk through the door and I just start getting upset about everything. Oh, man, the dishes ain't done. Oh, God, man, there's no food on the stove. I worked all day. I'm so tired. I'm getting ready to create an environment. And the environment is about to be a problem. Because I'm getting ready to talk to somebody that's been working all day and dealt with all their issues and ask them why there's some food on the stove for me. When you want to uncreate, anybody listening to this? Praise God. When you to uncreate negative environments, it's as simple as stop asking and do it yourself. Because nothing is unclean. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. The environment we create. Oh, glory. The environment. I'm an environmentalist in Christ. An environment has to be created. I got to try to take some plants, you know, some roses, and get the seed. Just get the seed, and then say, I'm getting ready to grow this and turn it into a beautiful plant. Think about this. It's a metaphor. Think about it. I'm getting ready grow a beautiful plant. I got all these rose petal seeds. I got some carnation seeds. I got some lily seeds. I got chrysanthemums. And then go throw them in a furnace. See if they'll grow. It won't, right?
No, not at all.
But if I know enough about the environment to know, if I just plant the seed 1 inch deep, for the rose, it has to be 3 inches deep. For the chrysanthemum, that one requires it to be 5 inches deep. Watch what I'm going to say. A lot of the problems in our houses is that we don't know how deep to plant the seed to grow what we want it to grow in the child, the husband, the wife. Because I didn't realize how I was thinking was making the circumstance unclean. It wasn't unclean when I married him. That was holy. It wasn't unclean when I had him. The Bible says the children are a blessing. So then where did the uncleanliness show up? Oh, it might have been in the planting. Hmm. Might have been in me creating an environment and me sitting back and looking at them and go, these kids just don't never sit still. I'm so tired. Look, I want to sit down and watch TV. And they're talking about, can you read? They're asking me, can I go outside and play? They're asking me, can I do all these things that I'm really done with my day? I put all my energy into my job. I put it all into making some money to keep a roof over their head. And here they come. Oh, my God. You got to pay attention to the seeds you plant. Hey, listen, if that television can wait 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to plant some seed.
Amen.
I may not know how to read, but I can type in Google and find out what the answer is. And that only takes me 5 minutes. And so we make, am I making sense to everybody prayerfully?
Yeah.
So our thought process creates the environment. And if our thought process sees it negative, we made this environment unclean for ourselves. That's the summary.
Yeah.
My thought process. See, I have to always line my mind up with the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is going to find a way to take what's dirty and wash it, just like he did us.
That's right.
I'm going to take what's dirty and I'm going to wash it. I'm going to find a way to wash it and get it cleaned. And so that 14 is very important to us. It's about mindset. It's about intention, right? I fully become persuaded because Paul has seen the fruit of allowing unclean thinking to be a part of his life.
That's right.
Ain't this the same man who we just read about who said, those things that I would not do, I do. Those things that I would do, I find myself not doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Now he's at a place where he said, I think I'm now fully persuaded. I'm starting to get it. Praise the Lord. I'm persuaded. It ain't really nothing unclean. It's my thought process and how I allow myself to deal with the thing. So let's go deeper. Can we go deeper? Everybody with me?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Here we go. I used to drink like a fish as a person. And I'm not talking about me, just all of us. I used to drink like a fish. Okay. Well, what happened? Well, I got delivered and I stopped.
Okay.
And then 6 years later, I was at this housewarming or this party, and somebody put a glass of wine in front of me, and I drank it. And I went home and I beat myself up because I'm delivered, saved, set free. But you got a Bible. Watch where I'm getting ready to go. Because the minute that I start to condemning the mistake I made, everybody with me on this?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to think about it. The minute I start condemning the mistake I made, I have submitted to God this petition. I am really not a new creature.
Mm.
See, as a new creature, that glass of wine was just a mistake.
Okay.
As the old creature, it was the mistake. As the old creature, the lie was lying was the mistake. As the old creature, sex was the mistake. As the old relationships were the mistakes. As the old creature. But if I fall short before a holy God, he's saying to me, you dare not live in the mistake. Because if you live in the mistake, you're accepting the fact that you're not a new creature. Because as a new creature, you can turn from the mistake the next morning and repent, ask God for forgiveness, and move on.
Yes.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, Lord. Yes. You can always.
Hallelujah. Change. Does it answer the question? Does it make sense?
Amen.
Yes, it makes sense.
Amen. Praise God. So,
God.
Go ahead.
You can give it to God
and God forgives you for all things. You can give him, you can repent, you can ask him for forgiveness. You know, you can change that. You can change the way you thinking that something is unclean. That means you got thinking, and you need to change that. And you can change it.
Come on now. thinking.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
All right, anybody else? Oh, come on now. We've got this great panel. We've got Brother Ray. We've got Brother Latif. We've got Sister Itina. We've got Brother Arnold. We've got Tavon. We've got, oh, my God, Sister Mason. We got Sister Donna. And we even have somebody else that joined us. WC, I believe that might be Virginia. I don't know who
yes,
that other person
I'm
is.
Here. It's me.
Hallelujah. We can everybody Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap, please. Our sister's oh. back. Glory to God. Right? So what do we think about the way we think?
Right. Your thinking
right?
can be hard on you, right? That's what you're trying to say, Pastor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can
your thinking can be your worst enemy.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Because you're thinking. When you think it wrong, it's bad. Like, think of all the worst narratives. You know what I'm saying? You know, people crucify themselves. You know, they don't, you know. So that's why it's a lot of things when people say, oh, I have mental health issues, you know. You know, feeling well, they want to commit suicide, or, you know, they have all of these anxieties, and, you know, they're overthinking things, and they're wondering if folks are talking about, you know what I'm saying? But God said that nothing, okay, it's too big for him.
Yes,
it's for him, and he's going to change that narrative for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor, can I add to that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so one of my big things is what I struggle with on that aspect. It's not so much as on that certain level, but it's more off of when I really started to learn more about God and how much God loved me. I think the reason why I would beat myself up because I realize how much God loves me, and I would beat myself up because I'd be like, man, you know, I let him down. And that's what I would do when I would condemn myself. And that was my problem. Still struggling with it today sometimes, getting a little better, but yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that.
Can
I respond?
Anybody else?
Can I respond to Lati?
Yes, sir.
I can relate to that. I used to be the same way. But once I realized what Christ came to do for me, I'm going to keep it personal, but I realized that he came to pay that debt. And we can go back to the thinking. This is the thinking, which relates to the knowing.
Yeah.
We only think what we know or think we know. So when I found out and really realize the truth of what his death meant. Price he paid in dying and raising up. We hear it all the time. He died for your sins. But then we beat ourselves up for sinning. As if condemned because of what he paid for. So the thinking that was all wrong. Why am I beating myself up for sinning when the debt is paid? Then when I realized that and I changed the way I saw it, so my thinking and the gratefulness that comes with it, I no longer wanted to stay in that sin.
Yes, sir.
Now I look at the whole thing different. I didn't have the attitude of I can just keep on sinning because the debt is paid. It does something to my spirit where I was like, wow, I'm free. I'm free from sin, even if I sin.
That's right.
But the more I grew Christ and the knowledge of Christ, I don't want to sin because I see the big picture.
Yeah.
And now I can't even explain that I can't even explain it. I can't put it into words why I don't mm-hmm. want to take advantage of sinning, knowing that I'm free from sin. I can't even explain. That's the Holy Spirit. I can't even put it into words. But the beating myself up because of sin was so foolish. Yeah. Now that I understand. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, T-Bird.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you, T-Bird.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, my brother.
I do beat myself up still, and that's something that I'm still trying to, like, learn from, you know. And I just feel like it's just a process, though, was what I'm really starting to get to.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just mm-hmm. trying to understand it, though, you know, because
yes,
a lot of times you would think that you over something or until you, like, really in a test for it, and then you're like, dang, why I just do that, you know?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mm-hmm. really start that. But I'm Talk just really starting that it's just really a process, though. And really, I try not to beat myself up, but then I still found myself as beating myself up. Like, dang, man, like I was telling the apostle the other day, like a lot of levels and stuff that I be hitting now, but like, dang, I'm supposed to be over that. But it's like.
But it's what you said. It's a process. So you can't beat yourself up
mm-hmm.
because you're learning. So you learn it.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So and you always learn. So that's what's the amazing part about it. So. Mm-hmm.
But I also found when he was like, just like freely sitting like that. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like the Holy Spirit. Like, I just feel bad within myself for doing it. You know what I mean? And it's just like.
Now,
that is a different
approach,
so I definitely agree with
you.
I would
you
like
done,
to
Brother
say
Arnold?
Some.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when you talk about beating up, I used to give myself black eyes, big lips, and busted heads because. Even though I didn't fully have the knowledge of, you know, the understanding, you know, God's word, I didn't. And I was basically going off of what hearsay. And when
say that again.
When I would
say that again. Say that again, please. You're going off of what?
I used to go off of hearsay, you know, what mm-hmm. other people say. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, trying to do right and be this rightful person. And when I make a mistake or do something I'm not supposed to do, I will just, it's like I didn't directly, immediately, you know, ask God to forgive me and come out of it. It's like I used to waddle in and be like, I'm just no good. Like, I just can't do right. And I used to do that to myself all the time. And mm-hmm. when I did that, I found out that I was sad all the time. I was mostly mm-hmm. depressed all the time. And I'm mm-hmm. like, what is this? Why can't I do the right things? And then I think it was it Paul saying that when he tried to always want to do what's right, he always find himself doing
mm-hmm.
the wrong things.
Yeah,
and to be, you know, really honest, I try to walk in truth all the time, but I really didn't know, and I'm being so like before I got to New Covenant, it's so many things. That God has given apostle to teach us that I had no clue about. And that's it's right. I've never heard that. And I used to ask him, like, I never heard that. And you know, and it's sad that I've been in church pretty much all my life. And mm-hmm. there's some things I had never even heard about. Like, now we talk about this now. I was taught that we weren't supposed to question God. And it made me keep my mouth closed. Like, I can't ask God nothing because it's wrong to do. I didn't want to die, drop dead, but question it. But now that I know that, you have to question him. That's how you learn, you know. It was just crazy. It was just a bunch of nonsense. But you know what? I thank God that God has allowed me to be in a place where I can learn. I learn, do better, become better, and, you know, be able to help somebody else. Because I was blinded. I was blind and couldn't see jack. And it was all because of my upbringing, really. So, you know, to this day, I forgive and I'm moving on, you know. It happened now that I'm in a position to, you know, do better and learn, you know, learn what I need to learn and stay among those that's going to help push me. And, you know, so I did a lot of beating myself up, but I'm not doing that. I don't do that anymore.
Praise the Lord.
That's good. Can I say one thing? I know we're past 7 o'clock, but can I say something real quick? Pertaining to what the sister just said. I say all the time, the most important thing is knowing the right thing, knowing the truth. Because, like I said earlier, that we think according to what we know or think we know.
Right.
But when we get the truth, it's amazing. Yeah. And another thing, I used to beat myself up too. Because of what I did. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I do that? But then I figured it out. That life is spiritual. It's not so much, it's not primarily what you do.
That's right.
It's primarily who you be. Because who you are produces what you do. Right. So I started to focus on who I wanted to be. And according to what I want to be, there's certain things that I can't do.
Yes.
So it's a certain passion that I have to the person I want to be. I just can't do those things. I don't want to do those things because my passion and my zeal is being. So the focus for me that helped me, that's helping me because I'm not there yet, is being. We are human beings. Not human doers.
Ben was saying in the Bible when he was saying that it's him that sin, it's not him that sin, but the sin in him that sin.
But the flesh. Right.
Right.
I've now learned that what the good is in me, evil is always with me.
Praise around.
It's always there. Mark 7:15, just a quick one for everybody. And then we'll go over the last piece and then we'll pray out or we'll speak out as we need. I don't want to keep people too much past 7 o'clock because then they go, that was too long. I'm not coming back next week. Right? But don't let the devil play with your mind like that. It's good. You know, if they made a really good pie, it's okay to eat two pieces instead of one. Right? So here we go. Mark 7:15, and here's what Jesus says. Nothing that enters into a man from the outside can defile him. But it's the things that come out of a man that are the things that defile the man. Because nothing outside a person can defile who you are until you let the thing function from inside your head and defile what you are.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
I am a born again believer. I'm a child of the Most High God. Am I the best child he's got? Maybe not. Am I better than some other children he's got? Probably so. However, whether I'm in the middle, at the front, or in the back of the line, I'm still
that's
in
right.
that line.
Yes.
I am in that number. Glory to God. Right? And so the last thing that I would touch is something that really, you know, if we were listening in the spirit, you would have heard what the thing that Brother Tavon spoke about, and I think it was Brother Arnold that spoke about it. And I want to connect those two things. Arnold said, yeah, I still beat myself up. I'm working on that. It's a process, so forth and so on. Tavon said, well, I've now learned how to create my environment, knowing I'm now looking towards my future. So I'm not trying to not do anything anymore. I'm trying to become what I know God has in me now. So watch where I'm getting ready to go. So sometimes we're dealing with God out of guilt. Mm-hmm. And if you deal with God out of guilt, you've forgotten what grace is.
Yes.
So whatever I'm doing for God, I'm doing it because I love him, not because I'm scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right.
I'm willing to give that up because I love you. You know, right. no woman, you know, just a quick, for all of us married men and married women, you know, it's one thing to bring my wife flowers on February the 14th, December 25th, on her birthday. That says I know how to be obligated.
Yeah.
But if she gets flowers on Monday and on Wednesday, and there is no date, that's just me telling her I'm doing it because I love you.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Say that again.
I'm doing it because I love you. Because if you don't catch it, the flowers on the 14th and the flowers on the 25th, because it's an obligation that she doesn't necessarily appreciate, and she'll say, oh, that's so sweet, but she's saying you were supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
It's the ones that come on the 1st and on the 15th and on the 13th that makes her say, that man loves me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah.
It's what we give up for God that lets him know we love him. It's not what we feel condemned because we couldn't do what he's asking.
Right.
And so we just beat ourselves up. And so the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to convict us. So you have to know the difference between conviction versus condemnation. Conviction is when the Spirit of God says to you, I don't want you doing that. Condemnation is when you say it to yourself, I can't stop.
Mm.
Right. Did anybody get it?
Yeah.
Conviction is when I recognize this wasn't pleasing. Condemnation is when I sit back and say, I ain't gonna never do any better. And I'm just beating and beating and I'm beating.
That's what I was doing.
On what God
myself.
Said. I love quit beating yourself up in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is going back to what Sister Athena said, that is the term of stinking thinking.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beating everything up because it just don't seem to be fitting right now. Just ain't seeming to do what I want it to do. I just better beat it up, beat it down, beat it over, beat it or kick it, stab it, run it through. God, that's the scripture we just read. It said this, right? After we got down, it said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Don't you know that every man is going to be judged in front of the master because every man is going to be judged before it's all over. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord and Savior. And so some things need to be judged by God. I need to leave him alone.
Amen.
My job is to go forward with God, do my best with God, let him
That's
continue
right.
to move my mountains, even if the other folks don't want to help me. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lift what God can lift, no way.
That's right.
Mm.
You
say that.
What better? Who better can I hook up with than my Lord? Than
and
sitting back and being upset because you ain't doing what you should do. That's gonna be between you and God. Me, I just simply want to try my best to get to heaven. so that I can stand before him and hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Any other questions before we close out? Any other thoughts?
Ooh, amen.
Anybody?
I don't have anything.
Amen. All right, then I guess we'll close out. I hope and pray this was a good Bible study for you. I hope and pray that you pull something out of it. If summarize it, chew the meat, as they used to say in the old Baptist church, spit out the bone. If it don't work for you, it didn't work for you. But there had to be something in it that did. Take that with you.
Yes,
glory to God. Take that with you, right? And let it let it settle and marinate in it like a really good steak. You know, marinate the thing. Put some onions on it. Do some praying about it, right?
A1 sauce.
Some A1 sauce. I like that. Get some A1 sauce and put it on it and say, I'm going to chew on that for a little while until I get filled with it. Get filled with it. Then add the greens and the ham hocks and the neck bone. But first, let me get filled on what I got filled on. Praise the Lord. We love you all with the love of Christ. I'm going to turn to Evangelist Mason and ask her to take us out in prayer, please.
Amen.
Father, we just want to thank you for this Bible study.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for everything that went forth over the airways, oh God. Lord, let us take what we have heard. Let us take what we have learned and use that. Use that fuel. Apply it to our lives. To live it. Breathe it. Believe it. Father, we just thank you so much for each and every soul that came on the line. Those that couldn't come for whatever reason, Father, we thank you for them also. Lord, I thank you for all of us. Allow us to continue, stay focused on you and keep our minds and heart on you and what you are doing in our lives and what you are and where you're taking us, Father. Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for my apostle. I thank you for all that you've put in him to deliver to your people's Father. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you for everything that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for each and everyone that's on this line, their families, you know, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren. Lord, we just ask you to continue to just keep us and make us better, make us stronger, make us those, develop us into those women and men of God that you have created us to be so that we can help the communities, we can help others to become more like you. In Jesus, Lord, as we leave this line, as we leave this Bible study, but we will never leave your presence. We ask that you will go with us and be with us and keep us throughout the rest of the week. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And let the church say amen, amen,
amen,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen.
We love you all with the love of Christ. You can access this information on the church's website. If you need to go and pull this and go back over some things, by all means do so. That's your A1 sauce. You can go to the A1 sauce and put it on that and meditate on it. Go read it and look it up for yourself and let God speak to you. Because if he came that you might have life and life more abundantly, and we're not living that life, then Satan is somewhere in the midst. Playing some games that we've let ourselves be blind to, and we need to rip those blinders off like Paul had to do. The scales need to fall. So we love you all. See everyone.
Amen,
on
Pastor.
Next Wednesday.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, one last thing I do want to say.
I'm sorry.
I want to give a special shout out to Jeanette for her birthday being today. Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday, Jeanette.
Happy birthday, baby.
And I just wanted to ask that you say that website again.
When you refer us to it, go ahead and give it to us so we can have it again.
Yes.
And again.
Thank you. I forget that everybody doesn't know. The website is www.NCCC3C Madison.com. NCCC3C Madison.com. And there are resources.
What do I click on?
Go get your tools.
Once I go to the website, what do I click on to hear what we spoke about tonight?
You'll see audio files.
Audio files, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it should be dated when you see it. Should be dated. If it's not there immediately, it will be there by tomorrow morning, right? Because sometimes it takes a minute to propagate from the system we're on through the server, back from the server, back into the website. Sometimes it takes a minute to propagate. So if it's not there immediately, it'll be there tomorrow morning. But there are also lots of other services that we've done, Bible studies that we've done. Unfortunately, I don't think they're all titled. I wish they were. And you would be able to go and pick the salad and say, I'm putting this with the steak. This is what I want to hear about. So, but I'm praying that you all receive the main point of being here. Has anybody gotten better?
I have.
That would be my
Amen.
Say that again.
I know now that I need to study my Bible like I studied to get my master's.
Well,
that's right.
Who just said that? Wait a minute. Who just said that? Hold on. Say that again.
I need to study my Bible like I studied to get my master's.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sister Tina. Praise the Lord. Right?
Yeah.
Has anybody else gotten better? Have you actually gotten better? Is your thinking different? Do you approach problems differently?
Yeah.
Are you starting to have patience that wasn't there before?
Yes.
Anybody?
Patience and knowledge. Yes.
Yeah.
And
Hallelujah.
Knowledge. Yeah.
And knowledge. That is who you are. You're in your journey. Praise God.
And I got spiritual family too.
Yep. So everybody, love you with the love of Christ. Remember, you're getting better. And just know, hey, if I keep going, I'm going to keep growing. If I keep going, eventually, my destiny is going to grow with me. It's going to grow with you. You're going to find yourself in places. You're going to see miracles, like Brother Ray would say. Man, they were turning me down. I wanted to get some new trucks. They were turning me down left and right. I went and got on my knees and said, God, I don't know what's up. I got to talk to the big guy. What's going on? Why is this happening? Next morning, he woke up, and it's all kind of emails coming through. You said you wanted a truck? Come see us. And multiple people.
Hey.
Sister Tina, I had a heart issue, and they had to put a pacemaker in me. And they put a pacemaker in me. That's what I've been living off of. And then months later, I turn around and go back to the hospital. And they say, the pacemaker, it ain't working right now. That's your heart beating doing that.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Oh, my God.
Sign, miracles, and wonders.
That's
Amen.
Who your God
Hallelujah.
Is. Yeah. That's who it is.
Yes.
So don't, you're growing. So keep growing. Amen. I love everybody. We'll see. Oh, tomorrow night they have a group meeting too. That's what I meant to say. Group meeting tomorrow night. That starts at 5:30, and that's Arnold. And they sort of kind of get people together, and they just talk about whatever subject matter that comes up, and they try to discuss how to get better and better and better. Praise the Lord. So that takes place tomorrow at 5:30. If you care to join, pardon?
Is it on the phone?
Yes.
Yes, it's the same number. Everything's the same.
Okay. No, I had to make sure because, you know, I'm not in Madison, so I had to make sure.
Oh yeah, no, sister. Sister. You know, we got this love of Christ in our heart. If we were getting ready to have something and you wasn't in Madison, we come out there and do it.
Well,
you ain't gonna get left out. You got a spiritual family. No, it's the same exact number, same exact location. All right.
Okay. All right.
Impossible. Praise God, everybody. Love you. Be a blessing. Walk in your
love.
Good night.
Thank you.